What if you had to make the most important decision in your life today? In fact, you already have, at least for your life so far. We make decisions every day, but some of them can shape the course of the rest of our life. Intersections explores those decisions and their consequences. You choose to turn this way instead of that way. Why? And what happened next?
Welcome to Intersections.
I'm talking to Courtney Martin, who helps with her family business, Martin's Tax Service, here in Oklahoma City. But we're going to talk a little bit more about a special event, a special organization that Courtney helped start here in Oklahoma City. And then we're going to talk about the most important decision she ever made. And we are recording in Clarity Coffee today, and we really appreciate Clarity giving us this opportunity to use some of their space here, use their shop some. Courtney, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Good. Okay. All right. Now, Courtney, you spent most of your life in Oklahoma City, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was born in Dallas, but we've been here since I was two, so this is pretty much all I know.
Yeah.
Pretty much all I want to know. I don't have any desires to live anywhere else. This is a good town to me.
Okay. So give me an elevator pitch about Debate Night OKC.
Debate Night OKC was an event that started in my living room, and it quickly grew because I seen that people need a space to freely speak about things that happen in everyday life. It is an organization or an event that is unapologetically geared towards young African-American men and women, because I feel like a lot of times we do not have space to just be ourselves without judgment.
Right.
And whenever you give someone that space, you start to see just how comfortable they become and how fearless they become in other areas. So.
Right, right, right.
That's what I love about it.
When somebody... you know, you're talking about being comfortable in their space. That mm-hmm. kind of reminded me. When somebody told me about you, we didn't really know each mm-hmm. other and until somebody, kind of a mutual Twitter friend, introduced us a little bit to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Cowan, and she used to be your yearbook teacher over
yes.
at Millwood High School, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And she used to always just try to, like, find unique ways to see what we were into.
Right.
So she would do these things called the zines, and I never finished mine because I was a true quitter. But she would always just try to figure out, like, what are you interested in, and just
right.
go do it. Don't worry about all of the other things. So I really appreciate her for that.
Now, I wanted to find your, on your Twitter profile,
mm-hmm.
what you have on here is, and this grabbed me immediately. It's like, oh, I have to interview this girl. I ain't no Twitter boo. I ain't no soul sister. I ain't no queen. I'm just me. Let me be. All right. Explain how that came about.
Well, a lot of times on Twitter and just social media, period, you have so many people that on a daily want to tell women how you should be, and this is how a real woman would do this, or this is how wives act. And I'm just like, I'm not a Twitter boo. I'm not here to be your boo. I'm not here to be your queen just because I may have my hair wrapped sometimes, or I may have braids. I just want to be me, and however I define that, because I'm constantly evolving. I even have that tattooed on my shoulder. Every
what do
day,
you have tattooed on your shoulder?
It says constantly evolving into someone better.
Great.
So who I am today may not be who I was a year ago, and hopefully it's not who I'll be in
That's
two
right.
years.
That's right.
So don't cement me in anything, because I just want to be me.
Yeah.
And if I happen to be a queen today, then that's great. But don't hold me to that standard, because I want to be able to be free enough to grow. So,
you know, it strikes me that black women mm-hmm. have to define mm-hmm. themselves very clearly
mm-hmm.
like that, don't you?
Yes.
Did you find that you just really needed to be just that clear, like on your profile, to just get started? Just to get to the starting line of getting to know people?
Yes, and it's still not clear enough sometimes. I think I mean, everybody walks through life with stereotypes and prejudices. Right. And I kind of think that sometimes is a safety thing, too. Because if I see someone crazy walking down the street, I probably won't walk on the same side just because I'm like, I don't feel safe. However, the problem with that is that we sometimes use those to lock in, and a person can prove to you who they are, and we never let them out of that box, and that becomes a problem. And that's what I want myself to be able to be free enough to not live in a box, and I want everyone around me to be able to say, this is who I define myself as. And even if the definition is a little vague as saying, I'm just me and let me be, I still feel that everyone has the right to decide that, and I want people to get that. And even if it's through me, just saying it so clearly on my social media, I hope that opens up the door for other men and women to feel like, hey, I don't have to be what social media tells me or what, you know, popular media tells me. I want to be who I am. So,
Do you, especially being married to a black woman, having been in love with a black woman for close to 20 years now, people just kind of start black women in a certain place, whether that's really who that person is or not, right?
Yes, they do. And I get, because we have so many, I would say that a lot of people say that the representation of black women is wrong in the media, and I agree. I won't say that it's necessarily wrong with reality shows. It's just that it's not all inclusive.
Right.
That is some black women, and they have the right to be that, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
However, that's not everyone.
Right.
Just as everyone is not, I don't know, Sarah Jessica Parker. That's not, she doesn't represent every white woman. So I just feel like we have to, it's not so much that it's on us to bring these better representations, but it's on other people to start looking for those better representations. So, and I just feel like they do start in one area, and they just assume, like, so everywhere you at, you have to, like, crawl out of this box.
Right.
And I'm just like, that's, I'm over that. It's 2016, and I refuse. I'm not.
Do you find yourself struggling with stereotypes?
No, because I think that,
Well, I mean, when other people want to apply them to you.
No, not even with that. Because whenever, like, probably some years ago, I have a family friend, and she's like my mentor in my head, and I love her. Her name is Dawn, and she gave me the best little nugget of advice. And when she first told me, I think I was a little too young to fully understand the gravity of it. But she said, what someone thinks of you is not your business. Now, granted, she probably wasn't the first person to say this, but she was the first person to say it to me. And whenever she said it, I was like, Dawn, that's crazy, because it's, why is that? Why wouldn't that be my business? It's what they think of me. She was like, it's what they think of you. It's just no different than what they think of a tree. And I'm like, whatever, she's crazy. And so after that, when it started really sitting with me, I feel like it just spawned a whole series of revelations of what people think of me is not my business. So your stereotypes really have nothing to do with me. That's your own life catching up with you. That has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And then what I think of other people is not their business, because I think that's the other side that we like to tell people, like, well, this is what I think. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And then after that, I had to learn that when people try to make it my business, I want to tell them, like, oops, nope, keep that. That's your opinion. Put it in your pocket. Save it for another day, because I don't need it.
Right.
It ultimately has no bearing on me. Friend, family, or stranger, is ultimately define yourself. And that's
really
kind of who I want to be.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Tell me about Debate Night OKC now.
Well, it's been on a hiatus. We're starting back for the summer session, which will be from May to September.
Yeah.
It'll be one Saturday a month. And this first one will be held at my family's office for economic reasons.
Right.
But it's just a group of amazing people that come together. We talk about the things that happen in our communities and our world at large, and it's just, it was probably the best thing that happened to me, because I've been able to see and meet so many amazing people that are, it's just like a cesspool of energy that people just, you just never know until you get to, you never see that side of people sometimes. So that's what it is. And I mean, we can talk about anything from pop culture, social media, to presidential candidates, to our history, American history, African history, ancient Egypt. I mean, anything, all things are discussed. And the way that it's set up is we have boxes that are labeled by categories, and then there's one that's like a miscellaneous, and people just drop topics in there. And I really never know what's going to come up, because it's kind of at random based on whoever brings in what topics and drops in the box.
That just happens that night. People show up.
Mm-hmm.
When you draw those things out of the box, mm-hmm. does just anybody say, okay, I want to talk about that?
Yeah. The structure,
is that the way it works?
The structure is usually, because I'm hosting it, so I'll usually read the cards off or the topics off. And then, we try to limit, sometimes depending on how many people show up and how many topics are in the box, we may try to have to limit things to maybe 10 minutes. But I really don't like too many parameters because it kind of stops the free flowing energy and people just get going. And sometimes we can stay on the topic for 30 minutes and I'm like, okay, y'all, we have to let this one go. But, it's just anybody. I mean, whoever has something to say first goes for it. And then sometimes I may point to certain people that I know, because I have a lot of conversations with people outside of debate night that I know, like, oh, we talked about this a month ago. I know you have something to say. And I kind of force them out of their comfort zone sometimes because some people don't really want to talk in a big group.
Right.
But, I mean, it's okay. I think it's all in love.
So far, what's the most interesting topic in terms of how much it engaged the crowd? Which topic engaged the group of people that showed up that night?
I don't know because
every one of them does, people, right.
Somebody's passionate about it. I will say probably the best debate night that for me was the one that was at my friend Chris McCain's spot. Well, it's gone now because they're redoing the Northeast Shopping Center. But it was called Memory Lane, and I think it was just a combination of it being the first one that was like in a real venue and the colors in there was so bright because it's kind of like graffiti all on the wall. And it was probably maybe about 40, 45, 50 people there.
Yeah.
And so it was just really like high energy. And that was one of my favorite ones. And then the following month after that, we had it at Aja Blue, which is a restaurant on West Hefner.
Uh-huh.
And we had Anastasia Pittman come speak. And I think that she really woke up a lot of my friends just to realize certain things were real opportunities and really could happen. She just was talking about certain things that we could do, like things that could really happen in our community. Things to build wealth and things to just kind of like, we don't have to keep waiting for someone to help us. Like it literally is on you.
Right.
And I think that was probably the debate night that I got the most response afterwards. Cause people kept texting me, kept calling me like, hey man, that was really, I'm really thinking different. Like I feel like I can do.
And that's great.
It was. Yeah. And I was just floored. Like, wow, God, this is amazing. Like it came together.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, so what are your goals for debate night OKC from here on out now?
That's interesting because when I first started this, it literally kind of fell into my pocket, like in my lap.
Right.
If I would have known that all of this would have happened, I would have never done it. I would have been like, give that to someone else. And I think because it kind of happened, I never really had a real goal for it. It was just kind of like I wanted it to be as big as it could be or to be as good as it could be, but that also left me to work extremely hard without really any direction. But now I just really so when I stopped and I took a step back and was looking at things and people and seeing people who came to the Bay Night pretty much every month, some of those people have started businesses, like one of my friends Jill, which I'm just completely in love with her mind right now. She started Better Black News, and which is an internet-based news show, which is basically she has a problem with the way they were depicted in news and media.
Right.
So she did something about it, and I'm just very happy to have been able to help her behind the scenes and really get that going because it's been a very positive thing. And then I've also had my friend who started a clothing line, Crew Gear. It's just people have started to realize that it's on them.
Right.
So now that I see what came out of it, I want more of that. I want more people to come and say, like, okay, this could really happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't have to wait for this. Okay, I don't like this. So it really is on me to change it. So I will, yes, that was my only real goal, is that out of this summer session, I want to see at least two people go chase a dream, no matter how big or small it is.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I can really count success, is by how many people start moving.
Right, yeah.
Because
of
it. So it's not, I don't have a financial goal like how many people I want to show up.
Right.
I just want, if it's 10 people and two of them move, then that was it. That's all I needed.
All right.
If it's 100 people and none of them move, then that was a waste of my time. So I think that's the best, or the only real goal.
Right.
Is more people to grow from.
All right. Good. Good. Well, let's kind of shift a little bit here toward our key question for the podcast. Would it be safe to say that you're in your 20s?
Mm-hmm. 26.
Oh, 26, you're going to tell your age.
Yes, I don't have a problem with it.
All right, good. So you're 26 years old,
yeah.
But I find even seniors in high school mm-hmm. can identify a key decision. They might imagine mm-hmm. that they might make a bigger decision maybe mm-hmm. you know sometime in the future, but there's been a key big decision that was bigger than any other decision they made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bet I could talk. I haven't tried it yet. I might. But I bet I could talk to an eighth grader and they could answer this question. So even at 26, you've made a lot of decisions in your life so far. What is the biggest decision you ever made in your life?
I think kind of like everything else that we've said so far. I remember one day with the Bay Night since it started. It's really been a really growing and spiritual mm-hmm. process for me. Because it's completely out of my comfort zone. I've always been like, I don't want to host anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. I just want to show up and do stuff. But it kind of forced me to do it. So whenever I was thinking about what I wanted to do next with it, I remember thinking like, because in the past, I've had different speakers. Like I said, Anastasia Pittman. And then right. I wanted to have things yeah. like business leaders to come back and yeah. tell us like what they learned and things uh-huh. like that. But then I was kind of like, well, I don't know these people. Why would they want to do this? I don't have any money to offer them, so I hope they don't charge me to come speak. And I don't know where we're going to go with this. But I would be really scared. I kept finding myself getting really scared, like, oh, they ain't going to want to talk to me. Like, I don't have nothing. I'm just some young person want to do something. Like, what makes me different than anybody else with a right. Facebook page?
Right.
So one day I was sitting there thinking, like, people going to think, who do Courtney think she is? What? Here she go. And then I start thinking, something popped in my head, like, name the people.
Yeah.
Like we always say, people are going to say this, or people are going to say that. I said, name every person that you think That's will right. have something negative to say.
Right.
And then so I did start mentally naming these people. And then I noticed the trend. None of those people were doing anything, at least not like this.
Yeah.
So their opinion really couldn't matter because they weren't even trying to do this.
Right.
Or they weren't doing
like you're trying to elbow them out of the way.
No, because right. yeah. they were accomplishing things in other realms of life, so it had nothing to do with what I was doing.
Yeah.
So then when I started realizing, like, well, you are putting yourself on hold for people who not even, they don't even care about this necessarily. Like, this isn't even their passion. So
yeah.
why are you? And after that, I was just starting to think, like, every time I get nervous about something and I think, somebody's going to say this, I'm like, who is this someone? Name them. Who do you think it is? Name them. And consequently, some of those people that I thought of, they've actually grown and start doing things from debate. Well, not right. probably only because yeah. of debate night, but mm-hmm. I think just all of the energy just circulating yeah. between everyone yeah. in our peer group.
Uh-huh.
So I think in a probably a twisted way, it kind of helped them for me to get out of my comfort zone
because yeah.
they know me and they know, like, she's not that miraculous.
Yeah. So she the can, decision was?
To name the people and go after it.
And go ahead and launch debate mm-hmm. night, right?
Well, it was already launched when yeah. I made this decision,
oh,
but it was to go a little further and find people to come speak. It was right. just to kind of grow it. I guess that would be the biggest thing is the decision was just to go ahead and name the they that we always keep in
yeah.
our minds, name the people. And then once you name them, you realize how
yeah.
pointless they are. Well, not, you know, pointless.
So
but
it was a decision not to decide for other people mm-hmm. how they're going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I you know, even at my age, you just flip the numbers on your age. I'm 62. And even at my age, even after six decades,
mm-hmm.
I still struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a human struggle. You go, mm-hmm. oh, man, this person's not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, they're going to say this. Well, no, let's just ask them. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, let's ask them. Let's see what they
and
say.
And then that's what I learned, too, because I'm like, I assign a lot of intentions to people without ever really discussing it. And
right.
I'm like, how did I just decide what you were going to like? And here I am up here trying to define myself and have
right.
the nerve to tell myself that this is what this person's going to think. I
right.
didn't ask them. So I have to ask people and I have to even, I just have to stop assigning intentions and thoughts to people without ever
yeah.
having any proof for it. So
boy, that's a big decision. You know, a lot of people just go through their whole life doing
mm-hmm.
that and never really realize it enough and never really address that
mm-hmm.
that enough. How are things different for you once you made that decision that you're just going to let other people speak for themselves? How did things change?
I think one of the biggest things I noticed is whenever I was allowing people to speak for themselves or I would want to engage people to tell me what they, because basically after I removed the fear of what they thought and
right.
just started asking people like, well, what do you think? Or
yeah.
just sharing my opinions because I've already had my mind made up.
Yeah.
I already know what I want to do. So I just, you know, just for conversation's sake, what do
uh-huh.
you think? I noticed a lot of people are more scared to speak for themselves than than you are what they're going to say. They're right. more scared to be heard than you are to hear them. So I just realized everybody's living in a big fear. It's just a cycle of fear of hesitation, and everyone's self-conscious, which I don't think that you'll ever grow out of being self-conscious. But I do think that it gets unhealthy to a certain extent wherever you are making real decisions and not chasing dreams, or not even just the daily decisions. If you're not doing it because someone else may, we're all failing. Everybody's failing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so how do you approach people differently now that you've made that decision? Do you think before you made that decision, you would have agreed to this podcast, to sit for this podcast?
No.
It's like, who is this man? I don't know this man.
I would not be here at all. Yeah. And to be honest, like you said, it's not that I'm cured of thinking of other people's thoughts. I just have a process in place to work through it. Because this morning I was like, I should text that man and tell him I'm not coming. Because I don't even know why someone would want to talk to a 26-year-old. What have I done? And so I'm just like, well, who is he? You don't know anything about him. You don't know anything about who's listening. It could be nobody listening to this. So you might as well just go ahead and do it. And if all else fails, you learned something. That's why I brought my notebook. Because I'm like, you just never know when a lesson going to pop up. You might need to write something down.
That's right.
So, yeah, if I would have never made that decision, I wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would be probably somewhere working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Desperate and depressed. So, thank God for decisions.
Well, yeah. Thank God for decisions. Mm-hmm. That's right. What do you see happening next for you now, especially with your leadership with the debate night?
Leadership, that's scary.
Leadership is always scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For me personally, I don't really... Well, I have a few things that I'm probably working on, but like this, probably a couple of months ago, I was trying to think of what is one of the biggest things that I can do that would scare me right now? And then, and I don't want to talk about it just yet because I have to work it through it. But
that's a good process, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And
find the thing that you're scared of the most and really process it.
And the thing that I wanted, because it's something that aligns with my childhood. And it was something I'm like, okay, I think my friends would, it comes natural to me, but I think they'll be like, oh my God, this girl really. And so in a way, I used to think about not doing things because I would be fearful of what they would say. Right. So now I'm also assigning intentions again,
right?
But in a positive way, like they would be like, oh my God, this girl really did this. So what am I waiting on?
Right.
That's coming, whatever that may be. It's just to keep scaring myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So you have a goal to keep scaring yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many of us, you know, spend all of our lives desperately trying to run away from the things we fear the most. But you found it to be productive to move toward the thing that frightens you the most.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Because I remember a quote from somewhere. I don't know where I got it from. But your living small does not benefit God. And that is very real to me, because what do I get, or what does... Because I'm a spiritual person, I do believe in God and Christ. So what does my Lord get from me just constantly tucking my tail and living in the shadows? And not that I want to be out in the front, but sometimes you have to go into the front to get things done. And that's kind of where I'm at with stuff. Like if I would have constantly questioned myself, my family's business wouldn't be, you know, progressing, and we wouldn't be bringing in new products and services. And if I was constantly, and not that was the only, it was all on me, my family agreed to it as well, but I wouldn't serve my family, I wouldn't serve my friends, I wouldn't serve myself, ultimately everybody around me would be robbed if I kept living in the fear box. So that's just, I don't know. And then I'm scared of myself, because I'm like, well, I'm only 26, and not to sound arrogant, but I'm like, I don't know where I'm finna end up in life, because I'm really excited. I'm like, if I fail, I still win.
And it may not be fame, but it may be
I hope
be
it's not
meaning.
Fame. Yeah.
You know, what you're talking about is not fame. Mm-mm. What you're talking about is just about getting more done in life, because you've decided to face the things that are the scariest and just go, okay, what's it saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
The thing, have you found it, you know, it just sounds like to me that your experience has been that when you really look closely at the things that frighten you the most, that's where the most meaning is. Is that right?
I believe that. I hope that I never get famous. I don't know why a person would ever want to do that, but I do think that there is some productive,
yeah,
things that are in the, it's something there. If it scares you, it's because it's a reason.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to live my life. Like when I'm dead or when I'm on my, when I'm dying, I just want to say, whew, I gave it all I had. I have nothing left
all
to
out.
Give life.
All out.
Everything. Yeah. I'm empty. This tank is empty. Go ahead and put me out in the back because I don't want to give nothing. I mean, I want to get to that. And if I can't do that, playing on the sidelines, and I can't do that, always scared of doing everything, like, oh, well, what is this person going to say?
Yeah.
No, that's tiring. That's more tiring than chasing a fear.
Yeah, you really do expend a lot of energy. I have expended way too much energy worrying about potential negative outcomes. Everything has a potential for a negative outcome. Mm-hmm. So you just can't let that paralyze you, can you?
Because there really are no safe bets.
Yep.
Really, they're not. Because like we like to say, well, this is a good job. It's safe. You can get hit by a semi on the way to your safe job. Nothing is safe. Nothing is guaranteed. So just go do whatever.
Yeah.
As long as it's productive, don't do whatever.
Yeah. You find meaning where you can.
Mm-hmm.
You find employment where you can.
Mm-hmm.
You find money where you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
That's it. I like that.
That's a really great philosophy. It sounds like you've already made a lot of progress in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you very much luck.
Thank you.
Courtney Martin, thank you for being on the show. And very much luck in your future.
Thank you.
That concludes our interview. There are several ways for you to catch this weekly podcast. Go to our website at intersectionsok.com, where you can subscribe, listen to episodes, read the backstory, and see photos of our guest. On iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and our Facebook page, we are Intersections Oklahoma. On Twitter and Instagram, we are Intersections OK. I always want to hear about the cool people in your life, so write to me. My email address is ideas@intersectionsok.com. Steven Tyler is our awesome production advisor, and I am your host, Brett Dickerson.